Would you turn with me to Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2. We wanted to look at two passages of scripture from Acts. Acts chapter 2 will be one set of scripture, and Acts chapter 3 will be the other. Acts chapter 2, we'll begin at verse 36, and we'll just read through verse 39, and then we'll read Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And because there's so many scripture, I'm going to read them, if you would allow me, and if you would follow along silently. Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 36. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 36 through 39. Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. I want to talk today about the message of the church today. The message of the church today. To some people, this may seem a strange pairing of scripture, but they go together as we stay within context of scripture as we talk today about the message of the church today. The message of the church today. From our text, we look back to the beginning, the infancy of the New Testament church, and the message that was preached and proclaimed by the apostles who laid the foundation for the church. Today, we want to set our findings about the message of the infinite church over against the message of the church today. It appears to me, as I listen to the religious chatter on radio, television, from many pulpits today, that the message of the early church has been abandoned for a message that is based on a vending machine mentality and an appeasing rogue doctor practice. I'm going to go back and say that again. It appears to me that the message of the early church has been abandoned. It's abandoned for a message that is based on a vending machine mentality and a appeasing rogue doctor practice. What am I talking about? That is, tell me what I want and give me what I think I need. In other words, patronize me and entertain me. But this message is strange to the message of the church in its beginning years. It is a strange message because the message of the day is laid on another foundation other than Jesus Christ. Simply put, many churches are preaching another gospel. As we look at our text and throughout the New Testament writings, we can clearly conclude that the church is preeminently only has one thing to offer humanity. The church only has one thing to offer humanity. The church only has Jesus Christ to offer a fallen, dead humanity stumbling in darkness. Jesus is who we offer. He is our focus. He is the priority of our message. He is the efficaciously sufficient Savior that meets the greatest need that every human being has. What is that need? Every human being born has one need that is preeminent in their life. It is a pressing need, and Jesus Christ is the only one who can meet that need. Our text covers Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3. We will look at some of these verses, but I don't want you to get afraid. We won't look at all of the verses in both of these chapters because we'd be here a long time. And so we are going to try to put it together. But the first thing that I think we ought to take notice of as we look at and explore this need and who the church should be preaching today, the first thing that we take note of is Peter's exuberant declaration. We read it in verses 2 through 36 through 40, but let me read it again slowly. Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God have made who? That same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. It is an exuberant declaration. As commanded by the risen Lord, the disciples of Jesus were gathered together in the upper room, praying and waiting on the promise of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised came suddenly from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them, according to Scripture, clothed in tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and beginning to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now let me make this short and to the point. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, something happened. They began to act different. They began to talk different. And apparently they began to walk differently, because the crowd that heard and gathered to see what was going on said they were drunk new wine. Now let me just sum it up right here and tell you. Whenever you've accepted Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit comes upon you and fills your spirit and indwells you, something is going to change about you. You're going to look different. You're going to act different. You're going to talk different. And it ought to be noticeable. If people can't tell the difference in you when you said you were a Christian before you became a Christian, you've got to question whether or not you got the Holy Spirit, or whether you got any spirit at all, or whether any change has occurred. Because clearly here the Scripture says that something happened to them. Are you different today than you were before you said, even I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior? Are you different today than when you stepped into the baptismal pool and they dunked you down in the water and raised you up to the newness of life? Is there anything different about you now than it was before you went down in the water? Or did you go down in the water, devil, and come back out of the water, devil? Is there a difference? Because it was so distinctly different that the crowd that was gathered around looked at those same disciples that had been cowering and hiding in the upper room and said they were drunk. Something is different about them. Is there a difference about you? Is there anything different about you? Do you walk differently? Do you talk differently? Do you act differently? When we say walk, do you live differently? Do you live differently? The disciples and Peter, hearing this accusation that they are drunk on new wine, Peter stood up and began to preach. What was his message? Looking at this passage of scripture, one can clearly see that he preached Jesus. Listen, in chapter 2, there are 26 direct references made to Jesus by name or pronoun. And the whole context of the message is about Jesus Christ. If you combine chapter 2 and 3, there are 48 references to Jesus, and the context is all about Jesus Christ. The message of the early church was Jesus, 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 and more Jesus. And the message of the church today should be Jesus. That's all the church got to tell the world is Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Y'all know Jesus? Do you really know him? Have you met him? Do you know him for yourself? Or have you just heard about him? The church holistic is all right. We can try to help meet people's needs. But the best way that we can meet people's needs is to tell them about Jesus. Man's greatest need today is not bread, it's not electricity, not money, not vacations, not position, not houses and land, not cars and new inventions or new laws and regulations. Yes, we need all of those things, but our greatest need is salvation, because sin is our greatest problem. Sin is our greatest problem, and our greatest need is salvation. This was the greatest need of people then, and it is the greatest need people have today. Hearing Peter's message concerning Jesus Christ, verse 37 says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. In other words, their hearts started bothering them. They had heart problems. When's the last time you came to church and the preacher said something or you read something in scripture and it gave you a heart problem? Pricked in their heart. And the scripture goes on to say, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? That's one of the two greatest questions that are asked in scripture. The other one is over when Paul met the Lord on the Damascus Road, when he got knocked down on the ground, flat on his face and blinded. He asked another question. He said, Lord, what will you have me to do? What will you have me to do? Let me just jump ahead of myself. Here they asked, what shall we do? But you notice not in any case did they ask the Lord, what are you going to do for me? Never. Let me go on, because I could be here a while. This has been bothering me a long time. So when Peter preached, the people were so disturbed and pricked at their heart that they asked an educational question. Look at that question, and you'll see the root of our problem today. What shall we do? It is not what will you do for me, but what shall we do? You know, I get all these people, and you ask them, you know, why did they leave this church, or why did they go to this church? And they say, because they wasn't feeding me over there. I haven't figured that one out yet. How many of y'all are grown? Now, I don't even see any armed babies in here. Oh, there's one back there. Now, if somebody came and fixed your plate, and they sit down, and they took the fork, and they took the knife, and they start cutting it up, and wanted to feed you, you'd think they're crazy, wouldn't you? The only thing you feed is a baby. God set the table. Here it is. And he said, feed yourself. If you are not getting fed, it's because you are lazy and won't feed yourself. You don't have to go running somewhere else talking about they not feeding me over there. Feed yourself. People go running. What's the church going to do for me? They asked, what shall we do? I get it at the end. Thank you, Jason, but I get it. Just don't look at the bad writing on it. I can't, y'all couldn't read it anyway, so it's no secrets. Peter, what shall we do? Peter had given them Jesus. And that was the most important thing he could do. That was all he could do for them. Point them to the light. Point them to the life-giving Savior. Point them to the one who could deliver them from sin. Point them to Jesus. And that is all the church today has to offer. The church cannot compete with sports. She cannot compete with pleasure and leisure. The church cannot compete with the entertainment industry nor comedians. That is not the purpose of the church. The church has only one message, and that is Jesus Christ. It is not a thing where you go here because you want a sugar-coated Jesus. You go here because you want a feel-good Jesus. Go here because you want a Jesus you think will make you rich. Many are intoxicated with the need to be entertained. The church does not offer that same $30 concert entertainment that you received last night. The church offers life in Jesus Christ, and that's all we can give you. If you want to be entertained, you got to go somewhere else, because the church is not an entertainment center. Others will go to church because they will dispense at that church whatever you ask for. You think you need the healing of repentance and forgiveness, but you're told to just keep a stiff upper lip, and that sounds good to you. It may be time when deep humility is required, but you are taught, don't let anybody think you're weak. You may need the sign of love, but you're encouraged to be tough. In other words, your problem has been misdiagnosed. Have you not noticed that when a high-profile celebrity or wealthy person is arrested, say, like, for cocaine possession, he quickly goes and checks into a treatment center. And by so doing, he's suggesting he's not guilty so much as merely being sick. When a great athlete is charged with gambling on a sport, on the sport that he's playing in, he tells the world he has a problem, compulsive gambling, he's sick. When someone commits a terrible crime, they say it's because they were scarred as a child or their parents did not really treat them right. It's their fault. When sin is not recognized for what it is, we call it sickness. But if we are sick, don't you know there is no need for forgiveness, but we need medical attention. If we are victims of disorders, we do not need forgiveness, but psychological counseling. It seems we have lost the concept of man as a sinner and have embraced the concept of man as a victim. You see, as a victim, we do not need to confess our sins because we are not at fault. Blame is passed somewhere else. Everything I do that's wrong is somebody else's fault. The devil made me do it. Sin is the problem. Sin is the problem. But in the hearts and the minds of our society and culture, as well as the church, it is ignored and misdiagnosed. What the Bible calls sin, we now call sickness, disorder, a mistake, phobias, and syndromes. What sinners need is not to feel better about themselves, but sinners need to be born again. They need their sins forgiven, the righteousness of God placed on their account, and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Won't anything reform a liar, but a liar can be transformed by the Holy Spirit living in them. This crowd recognized their need. What shall we do? They did not ask what the masses of people are asking today. That is, what's in it for me? What do I get out of it? What is the church going to do for me? Recognizing their need, they wanted to know, what shall we do? Peter gave an efficacious response. He said, repent. When is the last time you repented of something? Repentance says that I recognize that I'm wrong, and I will turn from where I'm going. I will turn my thinking completely around and go in a different direction. When have you been humble enough to repent? They said, repent. And in their case, they wanted salvation. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. I don't care which way this generation is going. I don't care what they say is cool and is the thing to do in this generation. You know what's wrong, because God has put things in our conscience to let us know it's wrong. I can't understand why some of our young men and some of our young ladies, we talk about this all the time, because, and I want to put it up on the board, Mr. Barnes. I want to put it on the board. Something out there, we can do better. Pull them up. We can do better. We know better. Pull them up. Pull them up. I don't care what this generation is saying is the thing to do. You know. And I need to tell all the men in this place, if there was a time when we did have some cultural astuteness about us. You don't go in the house, especially in God's house, with your hat on. And you really don't go sit down at a dinner table and eat dinner with your hat on. When you go in, you know, hats are for outside. I'm not fussing at nobody, but I'm just trying to tell us now. Now, my daddy and my mother told us, when you go inside, pull your hat off. When I go out in the sun and the rain, I need a hat on. And my daddy always told me to wear a hat, but I didn't ever wear one. He said, you need something to fight with, you know. And I didn't know what he was talking about then. My dad cut a lot of yards and all that stuff. He was saying, you need something to fight bees and wasps and stuff with, you know. They get after you. But when you go inside, you ought to pull your hat off. When you sit down at the dinner table, you all to pull your hat off. I know we don't want our hair all messed up and all of that stuff. You know, Deborah has to remind me sometimes, because and I tell her when I put it on, I don't want to take it off. But I know better. And y'all know better. But I have never put my hat on when I come in this sanctuary. And we've got a generation now that don't know. Doesn't make any difference what this generation is saying. We know better, and we ought to save ourselves. Do what's right. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. The message of the church today is still the same. It is the message of Jesus Christ. He and he alone has addressed man's greatest need. That need is the need of salvation from sin. Sin is still rampant. Sin is still evil. Sin is still deadly. We are born sinners. There are none righteous. All have sinned. All need to be saved. And Jesus is the only answer. And he is the only message the church has. Look at the example. Look at the example given in chapter 3. It says that it was around about the ninth hour. Ninth hour being 3 p.m. in the evening. The hour of prayer. Peter and John went up together for prayer. And a certain man that had been born lame sat at the temple gate. This man was 40 years old. So that means for many years, day in and day out. This man was brought to this same spot. The gate called Beautiful. And there he begged, shaking his cup for money, and those entering into the temple for prayer. On this day, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked an alms. He asked for some money. He asked for a little change. Peter told the man, "Look at us." The man thought he was going to get a little change or something. But then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." Don't you know that for 40 years this man had been getting silver and gold, but it hadn't helped his condition. It hadn't helped him to get up and walk. Every day he still had to be carried to the same spot to get the same silver and gold. But this day Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." No doubt the man's heart sank. Maybe he said to himself, "Well, why did you want me to look at you?" I think many churchgoers today are guilty of creating false expectations in people. People come to church year in and year out getting just what they want to hear. They come hearing this feel-good message. They come hearing this message that God is going to take care of all of your problems. He's going to be Mr. Fix-It, and he's going to make everything all right in your life. We're told all of our dreams and aspirations will be filled when he blesses us with that pot of whatever at the end of the rainbow. We sit silently, however, when the scripture is spoken, "Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." But then we'll go crazy when somebody jump up and start talking about God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. And it involves your greatness. And we just go crazy and we neglect the scripture when God says that he's going to keep us from falling and present us faultless before his presence. That's what people are being told, and that is what people are expecting from God. But listen to Peter. He says, "Listen, what you want, what you've been looking for, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." Well, what do you have, Peter? What do you have? He says, "Listen, Peter says, I do not have what you want. I don't have silver. I don't have gold. No, I don't have any of that stuff that is transitory. But such as I have, give I you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." In the name of Jesus, that lame man was delivered from that condition. He was set free. And I need to tell you that Jesus alone, he can do that same thing for you. He can set you free from the bondage of sin and death. That man jumped up and Peter lifted him up in the
name of Jesus, the singular message of the church is Jesus Christ. The most vital message the church has is Jesus Christ. The most important message the church has is Jesus Christ. The priority of the church is to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. The message of the church is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I said Nazareth, you gotta make sure the message is about the right Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Mary's virgin baby, born of the Virgin Mary. I'm talking about the carpenter's son, baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, and the voice from heaven thundered out, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." By Jesus of Nazareth does more than just make you feel good. He will set you free. He'll give you peace. He will give you joy. He will never forsake you nor leave you. He's ever present with his children in the midst of trouble. And by, he will deliver you from all of your troubles. But that may not be until you reach glory. In glory, he will wipe away all of your tears. In glory, there'll be no more sickness. In glory, there'll be no more dying. In glory, there'll be no more headache. But as for in this world, the scripture says you're going to have trouble. Jesus said it this way, in the world, you will have tribulation. There'll be sorrow. There'll be sickness. There'll be tears on this earth. Yes, he does have plans for you. And he does have a purpose. But I need to tell you the only plan for his children that God has is to transform us day by day with the purpose of bringing us to be in the likeness of his son, Jesus Christ. The message of the church today is distorted from the message that Peter and the apostles preached. That humanity has the same need. Man needs salvation. There is only one person who can save, and that is the man, Jesus Christ. Jesus died, and he paid the price in full. You know, I know he paid it in full. You know, I know that it's all right, because early Sunday morning, God raised him from the grave. Jesus has all power, and with that power, he can heal the sin sick. He can deliver you from the bondage of sin and death. He can deliver you from the darkness of the light. He can deliver you from the Father's house if you will trust in him with all of your heart. God raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Do you know this Jesus? Have you met him for yourself? That's the only thing that I can tell you. You get tired of hearing about Jesus, but I can't help you anymore. You see, if the love story of Jesus dying on Calvary is not enough to excite you, that's not enough to save you, if that's not enough to move you to live a godly life, there is nothing else that God can do. God has everything. All I need is Jesus. 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 Give me more Jesus. Anybody know that Jesus? Do you know my Jesus? Is he all right? Has he saved your soul? Did he lift you up out of the mire, Peter? Did he set your feet on a solid rock? Did he establish your goings? Has he put a song in your heart? Jesus. Somebody said it's a sweet name. Somebody said it's a precious name. But it's a mighty name. It's a good name. Jesus. Jesus. That's the only message I got. That's the only message the church got. If you need something else, you need to go to your B.B. King. If you need something else, you need to go to James Brown. If you need to go to some gospel concert, go to your gospel concert. But that's not going to save you. Won't anything save you but Jesus. And when I hear the name of Jesus and think about what he did for me, I just get happy. I just want to live right. I just want to talk right. He's done too. doing it all right. But I can get happy. Just hearing the name of Jesus. The name Jesus. You know he's right there with you. I didn't ever tell y'all one time, I'm through. I didn't ever tell y'all one time. I was in some dark days. And the devil was about to get my mind. He had it going. And I mean literally, I'm not making up something. He had it going. He was going to drive me flat crazy. And you know what saved me? I cried out, Jesus. And as soon as I got Jesus' name in my heart and mind out, the devil fled. He fled. I'm not making up something. I'm not just telling you no story to get you happy. I'm telling you what he did for me. And what he did for me, he can do for you. He wants to do it for you. Stop listening to all this junk you're hearing out there. It's Jesus. If you don't believe me, go through there and just see how many times you see reference to Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. You see, but this man, he come talking about, give me some silver and gold. But somebody ought to have a little better sense. People come and they ask you for everything. They think that's what they need. That's what they want. And they've got the church reeling. Going out doing a survey, what kind of church would you like to see in your community? How would they know what kind of church? That's like going to the doctor telling him, I need some pain pills. I need some high blood pressure. And he just give them to you. Rogue doctors, you go and they'll give you anything you want. And there's some rogue preachers. They'll give you anything you want just to keep you coming back. Jesus. Jesus. He meets our greatest need. As we open the doors of church here, and if you have not invited Jesus into your heart, you have that need. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you are, how much money you got, what your position, your station is. I don't care how bad you've been or how good you think you are. We were all born sinners. We all need to be saved. And the only person that can save you is Jesus Christ. He will not roll over you and knock you down, but he will stand at the door. He is now standing and knocking at the door of your heart, and he's saying, if you open the door of your heart and invite me in, I will come in. But you've got to invite me. You invite him in by confessing that you are a sinner and that you need him to come into your heart to save you. From that confession, if you believe it in your heart that he enters in, God says, not Pastor Barnes, not anybody else, but God says, thou shall be saved. It's through faith by grace, gift from God. If you're here as the invitation is being rendered, would you stand? If you're here, we invite you to come.
I'm wanting. There is something about you, Lord. I need to know more of. When I fall on my knees, attend my prayer, oh God. Take me beyond the veil. Give me more of you. You. And if it's not too much to ask, I want a deeper relationship with you. I want the oil of God to flow in me through and through. outstretched arms crying, Lord, not my will, but your will, less of me and more of you. I need more, I need more.
Paul wrote concerning our conduct when we observe the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And he wrote these words. He says, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he comes." He says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged.
Father, we come but bowed heads and humble hearts. Almost way we know how, Heavenly Father, magnify thee. We just want to thank thee for this privilege, oh Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank thee for touching us this morning and waking us up this morning, sending us on our way, and sending us in with closer than our right mind. We just want to say thank you, Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, we got so much to be thankful for. But Heavenly Father, we just bless the pastor this morning. He preached a good sermon this morning. Oh, Heavenly Father, that we should teach our children in a way to take our hats and things off, but it be taught that then. But they got away from that a long time ago, look like. But we want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for staying with us. Heavenly Father, we want to pray for the sick in the rest homes, in the rest homes, and in the hospital, oh Heavenly Father. We just want to say thank you and bless them, oh Heavenly Father, so they might come back to the fold once more. And we don't want to forget the old settlers that have been on the road wall pass for a long time, oh Heavenly Father. Just throw your loved ones around them and so they might come back to us once more, oh Heavenly Father. We just want to say thank you. Thank you for dying on the cross that we might have eternal life, O Heavenly Father. So we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Dear God, our Father, we come to you right now, Father. Father, we come humbly bowing on our knees, Father. For truly, Father, you're worthy of all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Father, we come in obedience to your ordinance, Father, your word, Father. You said, Jesus told us, Father, this do in remembrance of me, Father. So, Father, we come in obedience to the word of God, Father. Father, celebrating, Father, another first Sunday, Father. A day, Father, that was not promised to any of us, Father. But, Father, we just want to say thank you, Father, for giving us an opportunity to yet be in the land of the living, Father. Father, thank you for giving us a mind, Father, to want to be in the house of the Lord, Father. Thank you, Father, for giving us a Savior, Father, so that we might be able to come out of darkness into the marvelous light. Father, thank you for giving us an opportunity to eternal life. For all those things, Father, we just want to say thank you. Now, Father, we come, Father, asking your blessings upon this cup, Father, which represents your darling son Jesus' shed blood, Father, that precious blood, Father, that covers a multitude of sins. Father, we come asking your blessings upon this loaf, Father, which represents your darling son Jesus' broken body, Father, that precious body, Father, that was whipped and beaten and broken for us, Father. Oh, Father, we ask that you would bless it, Father. And then, Father, recall to our remembrance, Father, that we, Father, who have been called out of darkness, who have accepted your darling son Jesus in the pardon of our sins, Father, are to celebrate from your table, Father. And it's not required of those, Father, who don't know you, Father, in the pardon of their sins. Those who have not accepted you, Father, are not to partake, Father. We just ask, Father, that you would just bless us all, Father, and help everyone to know, Father, that if they're not, Father, able to partake, Father, it's easy, Father. You've said in your word how, Father, we can just accept you, Father. Believe in our heart, Father, that Jesus is your son and that you raised him from the dead. And that we could be saved, Father, and then be able to partake from your table. Oh, Father, we ask all these blessings and favors in the name of your darling son, Jesus Christ, who died and paid it all. Amen. Amen. Amen.